This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Lee Chui Lin, along with Uma Bagan, Ampike Bagan. This is the evening edition. And our next story, our final story of the day, actually has something to do with what we alluded to in our first story, which was Popit Popit Parliament, in which we found out that a lot of people are very angry about the fact that the Kuala Lumpur City Plan 2020 was gazetted on October 30th without first getting the feedback of basically people who thought that they were going to be consulted. This includes several MPs, it includes NGOs, and of course, the MPs in question, some of them had pledged in their GE14 election manifesto to make changes to the draft plan, and now it appears they won't be getting the chance to do that. So earlier we heard some rather fiery words.
Yes.
I think, from Fahmi Fadzil talking about how this was, in his view, on a scandal that is on the same scale as 1MDB.
He was talking the potential to be on the same scale as 1MDB. Yes.
And he was talking about, I think, that's in relation to land deals that were conducted. And he's called for MACC to investigate that. So there are a number of very, I suppose, negative news stories attached to this.
So the KL city plan, draft city plan, has been the bane, or a bone of contention, if you will, for quite a while now. A lot of stakeholders, very few people have had access to, I guess, the complete report. The previous government had said that they're going to abandon the whole thing. And then, of course, the opposition at the time had issues with that because they said, well, you know, you've invested so much time and money in developing this thing, and then you're going to throw it out as well. And they were questioning the reasons behind why they wanted to throw it out, right? And what that does. Now, I think the idea behind the city plan was a very sound one, because for the longest time, KL never really had such a document, or not one that the public was well aware of.
And it's reflected in the city.
Yeah, just basically. About to say, the chaos of Kuala Lumpur is because there wasn't such planning. And it's very important, right? Because we need to know what areas are zoned for what. And so that helps us protect our educational institutions. It helps us protect our heritage institutions and all
environment,
of that stuff.
Green lung.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? You know, maybe if this thing had come into fruition, you know, all of that issues with the Bukit Kiara stuff may not have been in question, right?
Yes. So there are a lot of people concerned. And just to give you a brief recap, we did hear earlier during Popit Popit Parliament what Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad had said about the KL City Plan, explaining that he decided to go ahead with the gazettement because it was really supposed to be done back in 2015.
Pewartaan ini adalah agak berbeza dengan pewartaan yang biasa dilakukan. Pewartaan yang biasa dilakukan adalah pewartaan mengenai sesuatu yang belum lagi dilaksanakan. Sebagai contoh, bila kita nak wartakan plan 2040, ya, maka sebelum kita wartakan yang plan 2040 itu, iaitu untuk tempoh 2020 hingga 2040, maka kita akan pamerkan. Kerana ianya merupakan perancangan yang draft yang belum lagi dilaksanakan, ya. Tetapi dalam kes ini, oleh kerana saya mengambil alih dalam keadaan yang seperti mana yang ada, maka saya mewartakan sesuatu yang sudah lalu, kerana ianya plan 2015, ya, yang telah disediakan statusnya pada 2015 dan ianya merupakan satu perkara yang telah berlaku. It's something which is in the past. So untuk saya nak pamerkan dan meminta teguran dan cadangan dan sebagainya, ianya adalah satu tindakan yang tidak waras lah, ataupun tidak logik lah, kerana benda dah berlaku. So kalau macam sekiranya yang untuk 2040 belum lagi buat, maka memang kita akan pamerkan, kita akan dapatkan input dan sebagainya sebelum kita akhirnya mewartakan.
So that was said earlier this morning in a press conference right after MP Fahmi Fazil also had his say. And now for that opposing view, we have on the line Dato' M. Ali, Deputy Chairman of SKL, that's Save Kuala Lumpur. Dato' Ali, thank you for joining us. So SKL had issued a statement saying the minister had broken his promise of showing the document to SKL for feedback. And he said today, as you heard, that he never made such a promise. Talk to us about your concerns about the fact that the plan had not been made public or available to SKL before the plan was gazetted.
No, see, because the plan which went into engagement, which was for dialogue with the stakeholders, between the time the draft started and it was sort of concluded and wrapped up, it has gone through various, about 62 over engagements. We had engaged with them, the public had engaged, and finally we were told that they have summed up the whole thing, and then we had asked the consultants to arrange through DBKL and the consultant that it should be displayed for public viewing as to what are the changes, what are the recommendations the public had expressed. So this was displayed in the DBKL lobby, DBKL Menara 1 lobby for a period of time in 2011, I think. And then we had gone and seen, and we had also clarified certain things. So therefore, the plan was expected to be gazetted between 2012. But we were kept informed that it's coming soon, and never came through. And in the process, we also came to know somewhere in 2017, whatever plan they were holding, for instance, the Environmental Protection Zone, EPZ, had been removed completely from the plan. And that is of great interest to the citizens of Kuala Lumpur, because if you go and take away the Environmental Protection Zone and you go and mess up the environment, it's going to be a great damage to us. So one example, then came the transit-oriented development, because with the coming up of LRT, MRT, there were some changes which we accept the facts, but then it must be shown to the public. And even if he doesn't want to show because of various reasons, then we said, show it to us, at least the representative of SKL. So that is our point of contention. So I saw his message saying that he had not promised. He had definitely promised. Otherwise, we would not have returned the letter to him confirming, thanking him for the meeting, and when the engagement will take place, his office arranging for us to engage with DBKL. And I have been following up with his officers.
So what does SKL plan to do next?
So that is that. Now we have to go and get a copy of the plan, which we haven't got it yet, because they say contact them after the 12th of November or 14th, I can't remember now, to get a copy. So we have to go and buy the copy. Then we have to go through it and see what are the implications, what are the damages. And reliably, we also understand a large volume or large number of DO approvals have been granted between 2015 and 2018 to date. And out of that, as the report says, there have been so many violations as well. So these are our concerns, and we want to know what action are they going to take. Are they going to, it's like legalizing something which is illegal, you know, but just a punitive action, putting a penalty. Does that make any sense?
And today the federal minister said he would welcome investigations into any alleged violations. Would that allay the concerns that you've described?
We have raised even several minor deviation to DBKL from time to time, even specifically going in terms of restricted and specific area like Bukit Bandaraya Bangsa. They have done nothing about it. And this has been highlighted all to the minister now. And also the Wilaya MPs, we also would like to know what have the Wilaya MPs have done in relation to the draft plan, which we had highlighted to them before the election. So we also want to know the feedback from the MPs, what initiatives have they done to engage with SKL, to link up with the ministry and DBKL to address this issue, which is one of the core issues in our manifesto when we requested the would-be candidates who are contesting the election pre-G14. So we can only comment on the plan after viewing the plan and going through it thoroughly, then we will be able to sort of give our comments. But immediately, what we strongly suspect, like the EPZ, I said Environmental Protection Zone, which we reliably understand has been removed.
So could we have moved ahead to the 2040 city plan without actually gazetting the 2020 plan?
Yeah, that was the ideal situation, even though because the damage has been done. Now by legalizing the damage, you are recognizing and giving cognizance. So I would rather think, or we would rather think that you should just proceed immediately to the 2040 plan without approving that existing, that so-called 2013 or 12 or 13 or 15, I don't know which year the plan is meant to be concluded. We are not sure. So he could have instructed the authorities to say, okay, commence with the 2040 plan immediately and put whatever the development applications come on hold first, put a moratorium and start with the 2040 plan and put a time phase and get and say that within the time frame and get the 2040 plan in place. Wouldn't that be a logical thing to do?
Dato Ali, thank you for your perspective. That was Dato M. Ali, Deputy Chairman of SKL.
All right, so we have on the line as well Bapantai MP Fahmi Fazil. If you missed Popek Popek Parliament just now, we spoke briefly about a press conference that Fahmi had held in Dewan Rakyat today about the KL City Plan. Now, Fahmi, thank you so much for joining us on the program. You called for a thorough investigation into any identified infringements under the city plan. What's the impact of gazetting the plan before these investigations are done?
There are several schools of thought on whether the KL City Plan 2020 should have been gazetted or not. There's one that says, one school of thought that says at least now we have a reference point and then we can build on it. And then there's another school of thought which says, no, we need to review, we need to correct everything. And make sure that we go through another round of public consultation before we gazette it. I think this question at the moment is moot because it has been gazetted by the Attorney General's Chambers on the 30th of October. But what we have seen, the commitment of the FT Minister and DBKL, KL City Hall right now, is that along with the document that has been gazetted, there's also an addendum that lists out these violations. The violations ranges from change of zone use, some affecting maybe single houses, some affecting entire multi-acre land banks. And so that's why I believe the SPRM or MACC, now that this document is public, it has all of the information that it needs to investigate thoroughly. Especially, I believe, major cases such as what happened in Taman Rimbakiara.
Fahmi, prior to this, you've been a proponent for the gazetting of the city plan. So is the problem here that there are violations and that perhaps further considerations should have been done before the gazettement?
Yeah, the main issue is that the document that has been gazetted, you see, when the entire public process began in 2008, it ended in 2012, and it was there was a public display at that time. But instead of gazetting it at that time, it was kept in the freezer, and further changes were made to that temporary document. So for a lot of people, they never got to see the final version which went to be gazetted, which was gazetted. And this is a problem for many people because they don't know what has been gazetted. So come 12th of November, when they can purchase the document from City Hall, it may be the first time that many of them would see what exactly has changed. But that is only if they have the earlier document. So in other words, people are worried because for them, there appears to be a sense that it's not a transparent process, it's not a clear process, it's not an accountable process. But I take the position that the document has been gazetted, but we have the opportunity now to do two things. One is to investigate these violations. We need to understand, to have closure on this issue, we need to understand who it was who allowed these violations to be made, and that they can be properly made to be made accountable. And secondly, knowing that any city plan is a living document, it is an organic document which can grow, which can change over time. The more important process is to make sure that when we start reviewing this plan for the 2040 plan, that we have full engagement with all stakeholders, whether they are residents or they are developers. And I think that is more important.
Fahmy, do you see any benefits at all to the current gazetted plan? And if said investigations are done, how are they going to affect the plan?
I'm of two minds on this. On the one hand, I'm thankful that finally, for the first time ever since Kuala Lumpur became a federal territory in 1974, we actually now finally have a KL city plan. And it's far from perfect. I feel that what we can do now is really find closure in the kind of all of the changes that has happened. I think, if anything, it instills in me the desire to work even harder to make sure that residents know what's going on, and to make sure that there has been, if there have been hanky-panky, that those people who were involved are brought to book.
So ultimately then, what would be the next course of action?
Well, I think what's important is DBKL is open, and anyone from the public can, after this, engage with DBKL. At the same time, I think it's important that MECC makes a statement, if they find it to be necessary, about whether there have been any irregularities in these violations. The fact that we have to call them violations already indicate that they are irregular. I think the public would demand some kind of action to be taken. And I think politically, we do have to consider what kind of action needs to be taken, and to make sure that no further violation happens, and to make sure that everything is above board from here on.
Fahmy, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Lembah Pantai MP Fahmy Fadzil talking about the gazettement of the KL City Plan 2020 and how, I suppose, it hasn't really taken everybody into account.
I'll be honest, I'm still no closer to understanding the complexities behind all of the issues.
I completely get that. I agree. I think we're going to get more details next week because then the plan is going to be published and we're actually going to hopefully be able to get something of a grasp on what exactly is going on, what those irregularities may be.
We need to see it. We need to read it for ourselves, and then we can have a proper debate.
So we'll get to that next week. Tomorrow, do join us for our budget show, though. It's going to be a big one. We've been building up to it for quite a while. And keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.